Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and that your word is truth. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. I ask that our love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that we approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Amen. I am who the word says that I am.
I am who the word says that I am.
I do what the word says to do.
I do what the word says to do.
And I have what the word says that I have.
And I have what the word says that I have.
I choose to open my heart.
I choose to open my heart.
To receive everything the Lord has for me today.
To receive everything the Lord has for me
today. Today, I'm continuing the series, Your Real ID. In this series, we've been learning that our identity is rooted in Christ. Our key scripture for this series has been John 17:17, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." Jesus was praying that all of his followers would be set apart or made holy in the truth of the word of God. It is the word of God, the truth of the word, that sets us apart from worldly things. It's the word of God that helps us think differently than the world thinks, that helps us see things from a different perspective than the way the world sees things. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect." The antidote to being conformed to the world is to be transformed by the renewal of our mind. We have got to think differently than the world thinks. We've got to see things differently than the world sees things. And the way that happens is when we allow ourselves to be transformed by the renewal of our mind to the truth of the Word of God. The Bible tells us that we have got to take every thought captive to obey Christ. Living an elite life, living our best or most select life, is living a life that is submitted to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Amen. The only way that we know to be submitted to the lordship of Jesus is if we know what he would have us do. Imagine you have a job, and you tell your boss, "You know what, I'll do whatever you want me to do." And the boss says, "Okay, here's a phone. I'll call you when I need you." And that phone starts ringing and you look at the phone and think, "Oh, I don't want to be interrupted now." So you don't take the call. And every time the phone rings, you ignore it. You're not going to end up there at that job very long. You're going to get fired pretty quick. You can't make Jesus the Lord of your life if you ignore Jesus' input into your life. If you choose to not hear what he has to say to you by not spending time in the Word of God, by not letting your life be transformed by the truth of the Word, by not following him, then you're deceiving yourself. You're not a disciple. To be a disciple of Jesus, you have got to follow Jesus. You've got to know what he wants you to do and choose to do it. That is having your life submitted to the lordship of Jesus Christ. We've got to renew our mind with the truth of the word. It is the truth that sets us apart and makes us holy. John 8:31-32. So Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." It is the truth of the word of God that sets us free from every lie and from every bondage, from every sickness, from every sin. It is the truth of the Word of God that sets us free. We've got an air show going on today, so we've got planes flying overhead. So if you hear anything in the background, it might be the airplanes. Today is part 18. I've titled today's message, Healed. So 12 weeks ago was the last I taught a real ID truth. I taught part 17 exactly 12 weeks ago today. So why has it been 12 weeks since I taught my last message? Well, I asked the Lord 12, 13 weeks ago what I was to teach next. And he gave me the real ID truth, Isaiah 53, 5, I am healed. From Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. From the NASB, it says, however, it was our sickness that he himself bore and our pains that he carried. Yet we ourselves assumed that he had been afflicted, struck down by God and humiliated. But he was pierced for our offenses. He was crushed for our wrongdoings. The punishment for our well-being was laid upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. He gave me the real ID truth that I am healed. Now, 12 weeks ago, I didn't want to teach this, so I didn't. I kind of argued with the Lord initially. I'm like, Lord, I don't know that that's really a real ID truth. I understand that you are my healer, but I don't understand how that's my identity. And I kind of went back and forth on it. And I didn't teach this message because I needed to take time in the Word of God to do what I'm teaching you to do, and that is renew your mind by the truth of the Word. I had to renew my mind before teaching this message. I didn't know it was going to take me 12 weeks before I'd be ready to teach this message. I didn't know how long it would be. I just knew I wasn't supposed to rush what God was doing in my life as he was revealing this truth to me and as I was meditating on the truth of his word. I realized that I had allowed my faith to be weakened in the area of healing by allowing doubt to stick around in my heart. Back in March of 23, we had just traveled to Illinois. And on our way back home, we were traveling and we stopped somewhere and I was eating breakfast and I took a bite of a piece of bread and I felt my tooth pop. I heard a pop in my tooth and pain in my tooth. And that persisted for some time. And I prayed over it and sought the Lord for healing on it and asked him to heal me. And we're going back home, we're packing to move. And as I'm packing, I'm praying over this, and I'm just having pain in my mouth. I couldn't chew on that side of my mouth. And I was like, Lord, I know you're my healer. I know you're my healer. Now see, for years, I'd learned, especially years ago, 20 years ago, I studied out healing in depth. And I got to a place where sickness just couldn't touch me. I would start to catch the flu and I would get up and pray. Like if I laid down in bed and started to feel even the slightest bit sick, I would get up and go pray until I felt it leave, and I was good. I didn't have the flu, cold, anything. No flu shots, nothing. I just didn't get sick. And this went on for years and years. And then, you know, what I would say was the crack in the door for seeing things differently in my life. In 2015, I was diagnosed with high blood pressure, and I started taking a prescription medication. And taking a prescription medication to deal with a diagnosis, it weakened my ability to see myself as healed. I went from seeing myself as healed and walking in healing to seeing myself seeking healing, saying, Lord, one of these days I'm going to receive my healing. I'm understanding my healing. I know you're my healer. One of these days I'm going to get it. So for a decade, I've been taking a blood pressure medication. I'm still taking it. But the difference is I now see it differently. See, I was seeing it, I'll get into that. Let me get back to this with a tooth story as well. I realized there was a chink in my armor when it came to understanding my identity as healed. So that's why when the Lord said, this is what you're to teach, I pushed back on it. Because I'm like, well, I know that he's my healer, but I don't know that that's my identity. And therein lies the issue. So what the Lord showed me through the last 12 weeks as I studied this again and really dug into it, the fact is I'd just grown complacent. My blood pressure's under control, taking a medication and it's under control. I'm living my life. I'm not focused on it. So it's just kind of not really something I'm thinking about. It's just something I've done. That, and then coming up with the tooth, I was believing the Lord to heal my tooth. I'm like, Lord, I'm believing you for healing. Now, when I sought the Lord on it, I felt like he told me to go to a certain dentist. And instead of going to that dentist, I called the dentist and asked them where they would recommend that I go. So instead of just going there like I felt like the Lord told me to do, I called them and I ended up going to the place they recommended. And when they went to look at my tooth, I had forgotten something about that tooth. The tooth that bothered me was actually a tooth that I had had a root canal on like 12 years prior. I'd forgotten about the root canal. I didn't think there was anything going on with the tooth other than it was now bothering me. So when I went into this doctor that does root canals, I forget what they call it, it's some fancy name. When I went into this dentist, he looked at the tooth and he told me that he wasn't sure if he would be able to do a re-root canal, if it would fix anything or not, but he would go ahead and try doing it. He said, there might be a crack in the tooth. It might be beyond saving. I don't know if I'm gonna be able to save this, but I'll go in, try to do another root canal, see if it fixes whatever's going on. And if it doesn't work, call me and I'll give you a refund for what you pay for this. And if it does work, great. He said, I'm gonna do the work. And within a couple of weeks, you'll know if it works or not because the infection will go away. Well, that was the other key. It was seeping pus because a tooth was infected. So it was painful and all of a sudden it began seeping pus again. Now, once the doctor told me that this was a tooth that had a root canal on, it brought back the memory. See, I'd completely forgotten. For 10 years, I hadn't had any issues with this tooth. But I had forgotten the fact when I had that root canal done a decade or so prior, there was a little bit of complication. The dentist that did the root canal drilled through the root into my sinus cavity. So it went all the way through the root with it. And he told me I might have complications that might need to be removed at the time. And shortly after the root canal, it became infected. It had a pus pocket above the tooth. This was over a decade ago. And I just prayed over it and spoke life over it and stood on healing. And you know what? The infection went away. The tooth cleared up, the pain went away, and it healed. And I thought, okay, great. And then for a decade, I didn't think anything about it. I literally forgot I'd had a root canal until it had trouble again. So anyway, doctor does a root canal. After the root canal, the pain went away, but the infection didn't. The infection, a couple weeks later, came back. The doctor told me if the infection came back, I needed to have the tooth removed. Well, 6 months later, I still hadn't done anything with the tooth. I was still praying over it. And I remember going out and praying and seeking the Lord on it. And the Lord kept asking me, why won't you let me heal you? Every time I'd pray, I'd hear the Lord say, why won't you let me heal you? I'm like, Lord, I am letting you heal me. I am standing in faith. I am doing this. And the Lord's going, why won't you let me heal you? And I didn't understand at the time. I finally stopped being stubborn and really sought the Lord and thought, Lord, what do I have peace with here? And I was like, you know what? I have peace going ahead and having this tooth removed. And I don't understand the process, but Lord, I'm just going to trust you through this process. And as I did that, the tooth was removed. Turns out that it had been infected for some time. And ultimately, what the Lord was saying is like, this tooth needs to come. When they pulled the tooth out, it was completely broken. It had cracked in half. And it was dead. Like the tooth was absolutely dead and it stunk due to infection. And I realized that I was trying to hold on to something dead. And when there are dead things in your life, is a great illustration for sin. You can't hang on to death asking the Lord to heal you. This was not something that needed healed from. I needed healed, but that tooth needed to go. Now, there's a difference between standing in faith and being stubborn. And I was being stubborn. Standing in faith doesn't mean you don't go to doctors, doesn't mean that you do foolish things. It means that you stand on the truth of the Word of God. Amen. And in this case, I was ignoring what I was hearing the Lord tell me to do because I didn't want to do what he was telling me to do. But when there's dead things in our life, it's time for them to go. Amen. Now, praise God. The tooth got pulled. The gum healed up. And I have a dental implant that is doing wonderful. And I'm thankful for that. Point in all this is, because of those situations, what I realized, what the Lord showed me, is the reason I wasn't wanting to teach on healing is because I had started believing a lie that I needed to be able to point to my flesh to prove that the Word of God is truth. And I didn't see it that way, but when the Lord revealed it to me that way, that I was ultimately looking to me and thinking that I needed to be able to say, see, I've got everything perfect in order to preach the truth of the Word. And that's not the case. See, what I'm doing is I'm teaching the truth of the Word that the Lord's revealed to me, but I get to walk in it too. Mm-hmm. You know, the key here is I get to proclaim the good news of the truth of the Word of God from a place of humility, saying, I know what it's like to be walking this out. And there is no condemnation in standing in faith based on the truth of the Word of God. But I don't need to be pointing to my flesh to try to prove anything. I'm pointing to the Word of God as the truth that I am building my life on. And I praise God for this last 12 weeks of renewing my mind to the truth of the Word of God. If you're battling with anything in your life, let me encourage you, take a 12-week challenge or whatever time it takes. Get in the Word of God until you get it, until you know that the truth of the Word of God is what you are standing on, so that you become assured that you are healed as your identity. And I'm going to unpack that in today's message. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, again from the NASB. However, it was our sickness that he himself bore and our pains that he carried. Yet we ourselves assumed that he had been afflicted, struck down by God and humiliated. But he was pierced for our offenses. He was crushed for our wrongdoings. The punishment for our well-being was laid upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Our first real ID truth for today is Isaiah 53, 5, I am healed. So I've heard the question before, is Isaiah speaking to spiritual healing or emotional, physical healing? What is it speaking to? Well, that's real simple. Matthew 8, 14 to 17 from the ESV. And when Jesus entered Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she rose and began to serve him. That evening, they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons. And he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our illnesses and bore our diseases. You know, I believe it's speaking spiritually as well. But I know for certain Isaiah 53:5 is speaking about our physical illnesses, our physical sicknesses that he bore when he went to the cross, that he paid for our healing 2,000 years ago. I know Jesus heals today. I had to answer the question, is my identity healed? Even when I wear glasses? Is my identity healed even when I'm on a high blood pressure medication? And here's where I wrestled. James 5, 13 to 16 says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it's working. So I'm like, Lord, how can my identity be healed and sick at the same time? Can it? No. But therein lies the problem. See, I was looking at this, is anyone among you sick? And thinking, my identity is sick. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. And I'm thinking, oh, well, that, yeah, that's my, see, I'm sick. So if I'm sick, then I can't have an identity of healed and have an identity of sick. So it's one or the other. If there's any sickness in my body, anything going on, if I'm wearing glasses, if I'm doing whatever, then really, Lord, that wouldn't be truthful to say that that's my identity. And the Lord showed me that was where I was believing a lie. See, I'd been unconsciously living with an identity of sick in certain areas of my life, looking for physical change so that I could, quote unquote, be healed. What I realized is that's like living in sin, thinking that I have to clean up the sin so that I could become righteous. Thinking that as long as there was any sin in my life, then I wasn't really righteous. If you haven't recently listened to Your Real ID Part 3, A New Creation, and Part 5, I'm a Saint, let me encourage you to go back and listen to those two again. And actually, while you're at it, go ahead and listen to Part 12, Overcomer, as well. Those three messages will help build on some of what I'm sharing today. But it is wrong thinking to think that if there's any sin present in my life, that I'm no longer a righteous person. Because righteousness is an identity that I carry. It's who I am in Christ. See, 2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. See, I am the righteousness of God based on what Jesus did and the sinless life that he lived, not based on my sinlessness. When I realized that my identity was righteous in Christ, then I began living as a righteous person would live, because that was my identity. So I started living out of my identity of righteousness. That means I started making decisions in line with being righteous. As I made decisions and walked out life in line with being righteous, all of a sudden sin started falling away from my life by pressing into my relationship with Jesus and spending time renewing my mind to the truth of the Word of God. Romans 6, 1 to 4, written to believers, says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. I get to choose to walk in newness of life based on my identity as the righteousness of Christ. Amen. So going back to healing, can my identity be healed and sick at the same time? No. I have to choose if I'm going to put my eyes on me and my flesh or on Jesus. Amen. See, this is the crux of it. Where does my real identity come from? Does it come from my flesh or Jesus? When I realize this, I'm like, oh Lord, thank you, Jesus. See, I'd been keeping my eyes on me and seeing what was going on in my body and seeing that as my identity. Just like when I was struggling with sin, looking at my flesh, thinking that I had to, by my willpower, somehow get rid of the sin so that I could be righteous. Instead of understanding it had nothing to do with me, I was trying to, by works, accomplish what I could only receive by grace. through faith.
Amen.
Healing is the same. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Jesus is the founder and the perfecter of my faith. But I've got to get my eyes on him. As long as I put my eyes on my situation, on what I see when I look in the mirror, what I hear from a doctor report, what's going on in my body, as long as my eyes are on my physical body, I'm looking at me and looking to me for the answer. And I'm feeling like I need to get something from the outside to touch me, instead of realizing, no, Jesus is the one that bore my sickness on the cross, and that I am healed based on what Jesus did, not based on what I do. I simply have to choose to receive what God has provided by his grace by faith. Amen. Receiving healing is the same as receiving anything else that God has provided for us by his grace. We see this in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. It's not about me. It's about what Jesus did and provided for me by the grace of God, that I can receive it by faith. Acts 2:21 says, and it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Our second real ID truth for today, Acts 2:21, I am saved. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you've called on the name of the Lord, then you can be assured by faith that you are saved, because that is the truth of the word. Now, here's the thing. Why is it so difficult for believers who understand that truth, that we are saved by grace through faith, and that when we call on the name of the Lord, that we are saved by his grace? Why is it difficult to see healing the same way? When here's the wonderful thing. That word saved in both Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved, and Acts 2:21, that it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That Greek word saved is the word sozo. Sozo means to save, deliver, or protect, to heal, to save, to do well, to be made whole. That is the same exact word that we see in Mark chapter 5. Mark 5, verse 25 to 34. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years, who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the report about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if I touch even his garment, I will be made well. I will be sozo. I will be made well. And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? And his disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you sozo. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. We receive healing by grace through faith, not of our own works, so that no one may boast.
Amen.
It is our identity as born again children of God, just as our identity is saved. Just as much as you are born again, you are healed. It is done and part of the price that Jesus paid at Calvary. Your healing is already yours. You are healed. Romans 8:11 says, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. The woman heard about Jesus, and faith rose up in her. Faith, the assurance that what she hoped would happen would be happen if she just touched his garments. You know, if Jesus were here today and you had the opportunity to go touch him, that would have no more healing opportunity for you than the fact that the power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells on the inside of you as a born-again believer. See, I've been going about it wrong, thinking that I had to receive something from the outside in order to see it in my body. The fact is, healing resides in me. I am healed. I was simply buying into a wrong identity and seeing myself through my flesh instead of through my identity in Christ. All throughout the Word, we see healing and wholeness linked to faith. We also see God being limited by unbelief. In his sovereignty, God has chosen to work through our faith, which means we limit God's ability to get something to us when we don't have faith to receive it from God. Mark 6 tells us in verse 5, it's a story of Jesus going to his hometown and teaching. And people are like, man, this is wonderful stuff. Where did he get all this wisdom? And then they start going, wait a second. We know where he came from. We know his brothers and his sisters. He can't be all that special. And in verse 4, Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his relatives and his own household. Verse 5, and he could do no mighty work there except he laid a hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went about among the villages teaching. When we have a wrong picture, when we doubt the truth of the word, or we're looking to our flesh in order to confirm the truth of the word, and we think that our flesh gets to dictate the truth of the word in our life versus letting the word of God dictate the truth in our life, then we've got an issue. Unbelief hinders God's ability to get something to us. Yeah. Romans 4:16-22 helps us understand what faith is. I want to look at this because faith and healing are linked. So we're going to look at faith to understand our identity is healed. I am healed. But see, you've got to know that that's your identity. And even as I'm preaching this, I'm sure there are some that will listen to this message and feel some pushback inside, just like I did. 12 weeks ago, when I started meditating on some of these truths, I was feeling some pushback, and I had to go through a process of renewing my mind to the truth of the Word of God to let the Word of God transform the way that I was thinking. And when I recognized the error in my thinking, I repented from those errors and chose to stand on the truth of the Word. That is the process that we go through with our real ID. We allow the Word to transform our lives so we think differently and we see things differently. Let's look here and see a picture of faith at work to begin understanding how faith operates in our own life. Romans chapter 4, verses 16-22. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace. Again, anything we try to receive from God, we receive it by faith, but the reason we can do that is because God has made it available to us by His grace. Everything that's available to us is available because of the grace of God, the goodness of God. God's grace operating, providing something for us that we then can receive by faith. That's why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all of His offspring, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to the ones who share the faith of Abraham. This is speaking of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gave life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. In hope, he, Abraham, believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead. See, I had been weakening in faith when I considered my own body and the things that were going on in my body. Abraham didn't. See, this is faith. Faith is when we don't weaken in faith, no matter what's going on in our body. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old. Some of the versions say that he didn't consider his own body. Either way, whether or not he did or didn't, what matters is that that's not what we're looking to. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old. And when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb, no unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. Verse 21, here it is, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Fully convinced. See, I am fully convinced that Jesus paid for my healing on the cross and that my identity is I am healed. Regardless of what's going on in my physical body, I am healed. My identity, the way I see myself, is healed as a result of what Jesus did. Verse 22, that is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. We see another definition of faith, an understanding of what faith is in Hebrews 11. We're going to go to verses 1 through 3. Now faith is. This first three words I've been meditating on over and over again for weeks now. Now faith is. Now faith is. Faith is what you have now. Amen. Now, you might not have faith for the truth of the word. You might have faith in a doctor's report or faith in what you're feeling in your body. Now faith is. Doesn't say yesterday faith was. Doesn't say tomorrow faith will be. No, now faith is. Faith is always in the now. Now faith is. Now, whether or not it's faith in the truth of the word or faith in something, a lie, now faith is. Yeah. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. What are we hoping for? Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It is an assurance. When someone says, when I look at a situation, I'm like, you know what? I don't have enough faith for that. What does that mean? It means I don't have enough assurance that that's what it is, that that's truth. That's what's going to happen, regardless of any other situations or circumstances. See, Abraham had to be at a place where he was assured that it was going to happen. And it took a long time for him to get there too. He didn't get there overnight. God gave him the promise, and it took him a long time to get to a place of assurance to where he saw it work in his body. And one of the things that God did with him, he changed his name. So he started calling himself. He saw his identity as the father of many nations. He began seeing himself as it and understanding his identity. This is the same thing we've got to do with healing. We've got to understand our identity is healed before we see it manifest in our body. But we've got to understand that our true identity, our real ID is I am healed. I am saved. I am sozo. I am well and whole. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Look, we are people of faith. It takes faith to be a believer. It takes faith to believe that the creation account in Genesis is what actually happened. Science says other things happened. The word of God says something happened. And you know what? It takes faith to believe that. It's by faith we understand the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen is not made out of things that are visible. We live by faith as believers. That's who we are. Mm-hmm. It's being fully convinced or assured that something God has provided by his grace is ours. That's how we receive it. We become fully convinced. 1 Corinthians 1:18 from the New King James Version says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God." Look, faith is foolishness to those who are perishing as well. But that doesn't matter. I'm not consulting the world because I'm being transformed by the renewing of my mind. I'm taking the antidote to thinking like the world thinks. So it doesn't matter if it sounds foolish to the world. I'm fully convinced that the word of God is truth. Amen. That's standing in faith. That's walking in faith. That's living by faith. Amen. Romans 8:24 from the ESV. "Now for in this hope we are saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees?" Look, once you have it, you're no longer in faith over it. It's no longer an opportunity to be growing in your faith, to be building your faith. When you already have something, you don't need faith and hope because you possess it. I am healed. I possess the identity of Christ, which is healed. I see myself as healed and whole based on what Jesus did. That is my identity. Amen. Here's the thing with faith and hope. Don't get tired of living by faith. Sometimes it can feel like a battle in life when you're fighting the good fight of faith. But don't get tired of it because it's not going away. It's not a bad thing to be growing in faith day by day, Amen. To be growing with hope and having something out in front of us that we're constantly pulling towards. Again, go listen to the message Overcomer to hear about how faith hooks on to hope, the truth of the word, to pull you towards the destiny that God's called you into. So in 1 Corinthians 13:7-13, it tells us some things that are never going away. They're always going to remain. It's talking about love, but I want you to catch the fact that this isn't just talking about love. It's talking about faith, hope, and love. Verse 7 says, "Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends." And then goes into, "As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, when Jesus comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known." Verse 13. "So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love." Look, whatever you're walking through, let it be with joy as an opportunity to stand in faith with a picture of hope, knowing that the word of God is truth, knowing that you are healed. Like right now, you're healed. It's not something you're waiting to happen someday. You are healed as an identity. Your identity in Christ, my identity in Christ, every believer, whether or not we choose to live in it or not, our identity is righteousness, our identity is healed, our identity is whole. Every single one of our real ID truths are yes and amen. We speak the amen to it. Here's the key. I had an opportunity during this 12-week period to experience something that helped me realize a little bit more, like, oh, it's mine. I am healed. Before Megan's and my anniversary, I started really thinking about watches and time and God's timing on things. And I started looking into it and thinking, you know, Lord, I'd like to have a new watch sometime soon. Mm-hmm. So I brought Megan and said, hey, hun, there's this amazing watch I really like. I'd love to have it for our anniversary. She's like, well, we'll see about it. And I'm looking at it and thinking about it and hoping that she'll get it for me and hoping I'll have it and thinking, man, that'd be really nice. And I've got this, man, I wish I could have that watch. I really like it. So a couple weeks before our anniversary, she's like, hey, let's go out and go, let's go look at the watch to see if it's really what you want. So we went out to the store and I tried on the watch and it's like, oh my gosh, it's amazing. She happened to find a watch that was a match with it that we're like, oh man, these watches are really nice. And I'm like, oh yeah, well, I really hope we can get it. She's like, you know what? We're here. Let's just buy them now and then I can give it to you on your anniversary. And I got really excited. I'm like, really? She's like, yeah, let's do it. So she bought the watch for me that day. Now, she didn't give it to me, but she bought it for me and got put in the closet. And now I know. See, I was hoping that I would receive it. I was wishing for it, but it was now purchased. The fact that she purchased it for me, and I knew because of her love for me that it was going to go on my wrist. It was no longer wondering when it would go on my, now I get to anticipate the excitement of it being on my wrist, knowing that it's already, I mean, it's not something that I've put on yet, but it's mine. It's already purchased. Your identity in Christ is already purchased. Amen. 1 Peter 2:24 says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been, past tense, by his wounds, you have been healed. Your healing is already purchased. Amen. It's already yours. Now you have the opportunity to be excited about and see yourself wearing. What's it look like? You know, I pictured what it would look like to have the watch on my wrist. Today I look down, I'm no longer in faith or hope for this watch. It's on my wrist. Hope is not hope once you have it. I'm not building my faith with this anymore. It's there. It's on my wrist today. I'm looking down at it right now. But you know what? There was a time I looked down at my wrist and my wrist was bare, but I saw it there. I saw it there before it was there because I knew it was mine. You get that? It's already purchased. Whatever you're believing for, if it's provided by grace, you receive it by faith. Get a picture of what it looks like in your situation. I'm not sure who I'm talking to today and what you're walking through, but what does healing look like? You know, I realized in some areas, the truth is, I hadn't even been believing for healing for glasses or anything and for my eyesight. I'd just been living with it for so long, I hadn't even tried it. And even today, truthfully, I'm not like focusing on that. I'm just focusing on the fact that I'm healed and the truth of the word. But I hadn't even started like envisioning what it looks like to be without that. What it looks like to see it in the physical. But you've got to get a picture of what it actually looks like to walk out your identity in the natural. See, righteousness, when I started getting a picture of what righteousness was, that allowed me to start doing the things that I would do as a righteous person because I am righteous. You know, as being healed and whole, what do you do now that you're healed and whole? What's a healed and whole person do? And what parts of that can you start doing now? What parts can you start thinking differently about something because you no longer see yourself as whatever the sickness or the illness may be? You see yourself as healed. And that means you begin seeing your life transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, here's the thing. I had allowed some leaven in my life. I'd allowed some false teaching to weaken my faith when it came to healing. And I had to work to get that out. And the way I worked to get that out was meditating on the truth of the word and allowing the word of God to transform my thinking. So I stopped being conformed to the world's way of doing things. Galatians 5, 6 through 9, Paul is talking to believers that had allowed some leaven in. They had allowed some false teaching in that was pulling them away from the truth and causing them to err in truth. Now, verse 6 says, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love." Faith works through love. This is why love is so important. Understanding how loved you are by God. God is not withholding anything from you. He is not withholding healing from you. You are healed by the stripes of Jesus. It's already purchased. It's already done. It's already provided for you by grace. You simply have to receive it. But only faith working through love. You are running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. So what's Paul talking about when he says a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Well, Matthew 16, Jesus speaking to the disciples says, when the disciples reached the other side, they had forgotten to bring any bread. And Jesus said to them, "Watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." And they began discussing among themselves, saying, "We brought no bread." But Jesus, aware of this, said, "Oh, you of little faith, why are you discussing among yourselves the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive? Do you not remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many baskets you gathered? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many baskets you gathered? How is it that you fail to understand that I did not speak about bread? Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. We see elsewhere in the scripture that the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees, leaven, was hypocrisy, was deception. You know, anything that makes you question the truth of the word of God is leaven. It is seed sown by the enemy, even if they're sown by people in good intent. Remember when Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, far be it from you." And Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." Look, words can be spoken by someone who loves you that means well, but they can be lies from the enemy that are sent to hinder your ability to walk in faith. It's our job to be very aware of whether or not something is hindering our faith or not. I had allowed some lies to creep in over the course of time, and I praise God that as I continue growing in his truth, that the truth of his word is able to peel back the layers and expose the lies for what they are, so I could stand on the truth of the word of God and strengthen the foundation as I was transformed by the renewing of my mind when it comes to my identity as being healed. Some common wrong beliefs regarding healing. I want to hit these real quick because this is some common leaven that the church has allowed in. The church, speaking a global church as a whole, has allowed some wrong beliefs to come in when it comes to our healing. Wrong belief, I would say number one, what if God is trying to teach me something through this sickness? What if he brought this sickness upon me to chasten me or to train me? What if he brought it on me for his glory? Well, the only time we see sickness being talked about for God's glory is when God came and healed. That's number one. When you walk in your healing, so receive your healing. Understand that you are healed by the power of Jesus. Next, when you ask the question, what if he's trying to teach you something? Let me just throw this out to you. He is trying to teach you something, but he didn't bring the sickness on you. Okay, he's trying to teach all of us something through the truth of his word. As we are transformed by the renewing of our mind, we are learning lots of things and we are being transformed. So yes, of course, he's trying to teach you something. He's trying to teach you to live by faith and walk in faith. Okay, but he's not the one that brought sickness into your life. And it's not bringing him glory for you to remain in sickness. What brings him glory is for you to catch this message, grab onto the fact that you are healed, and walk out your healing and be a testimony of God's goodness and God's faithfulness in your life. That's what brings God glory. Amen. Now, how do I know that God isn't the one that is bringing sickness into your life? Well, Hebrews 1:1-3 tells us that Jesus is the perfect representation of the nature of God. Amen. Verse 3 says, and he, speaking of Jesus, is the radiance of his God's glory and the exact representation of his nature. Mm-hmm. So Jesus is the exact representation of God's nature. And you know what? We don't ever see Jesus anywhere going, you know what? No, I'm not going to heal you because you haven't quite walked out what God wanted on you because he put it on you. Like that's nowhere in the scripture. That is leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees, no matter who it's spoken by and what good intent they had. Next, Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Healing is what bring God glory.
Amen.
Walk in your healing that is provided for in the atonement of Jesus. Amen. Understand this, healing, like get this message, because what got me excited, healing is not something I'm waiting for. I'm already healed by the stripes of Jesus. It's done. I simply get to walk it out, understanding my identity is healed, the same as I understand my identity is a righteousness of Christ. Based on what Jesus did, not based on what I do. And last here, John 10:10-11 says, a thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. This is Jesus speaking. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus, God, is not the one keeping sickness in anyone's life. Sickness has no right to you as a born again child of God.
Amen.
You are healed. That is your identity.
Amen.
Learning to walk in it and see yourself that way is done by the renewing of your mind by the truth of the word of God.
Amen.
You know, I think it disappoints the heart of God sometimes when we have listened to the lies of the people that mean well, that don't speak truth, that sow doubt and call into question the truth of the word of God. And we see this, Mark chapter 1, 40 to 42. Now, this is from the NIV. And I pulled the NIV because I like the way they bring out the Greek in this word. Verse 40 says, a man with leprosy came to him, Jesus, and begged him on his knees, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus was indignant. Some of the versions say, and Jesus filled with compassion. This version takes that word, because that word could mean compassion, but it can also mean indignant. Indignant. Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand, touched the man. I am willing, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. You know, when we come to God, Lord, I know you're able to do it, but God, are you willing? That's calling into question God's love for you.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine a parent watching their child struggle through an illness thinking, you know, I'm going to just keep that illness on them a little longer. It's training them well. You know, they're not as rambunctious when they're sick in bed, so I'm going to just leave that on them. What kind of father would that be? And to think that God would do that tells me that you need to be renewed to the truth of the Word of God and understand the love of God for you in His life and the compassion that He has for you. And it means that you need to get rid of any wrong teaching that has allowed you to believe that lie about our Heavenly Father, because it's not true.
Amen.
And no sin in your life. Yeah, I understand sin may open the door for sickness, but you know what? Repentance is as simple as changing the way you think, repenting, and moving on. It's not something you've got to sit there and feel like you've got to pay penance. Jesus paid the price for your sin.
That's right.
When He was whipped and put upon that cross. By His stripes, you are healed. The next lie I want to come against is Paul's thorn in his flesh. Mm-hmm. I have heard this countless times. Well, I just don't know if it's God's will or not, or if He's maybe strengthening me in this. You know, God put a thorn in Paul's flesh and he had a sickness. His eyes, he was all puffy in his eyes and he struggled with this sickness. And as a result, I just don't know if God, maybe God's buffeting me. Look, first of all, if you're saying that you're concerned that you're going to be conceited because it's surpassing greatness of the revelations that God has given you, then, yeah, okay, I'm not even going to go there. Let me just say this. The Scripture does not teach that that was sickness. As a matter of fact, the Scripture tells us exactly what it is. Let's read this passage. 2 Corinthians 12:7-10. I don't want to make fun at this, but man, the lie is permeated Christians' lives for way too long, and it needs to go. Paul's thorn in his flesh was not sickness and disease. It was not poor eyesight or whatever else. Paul's thorn in the flesh was a messenger of Satan sent to harass him. It says, so to keep me from being conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. It was not sickness. It was a persecuting spirit that went around stirring up the people to harass him. All who desire to live godly in life will suffer persecution. Okay? God, by His grace, did not provide us a life where we would not be persecuted for preaching the truth of the gospel. Okay? So when we preach the truth, there can be persecution that comes with it. But that is not living in sickness and defeat and somehow buying into a lie that that's what Paul was doing. That is not truth. The only other time that we see a thorn in the flesh spoken of, we see it in Numbers chapter 33:55. This is speaking to the children of Israel. It says, but if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then those of you whom you let remain shall be as barbs in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and they shall trouble you in the land where you dwell. That was speaking of people, okay? People were the thorns in the side. They were persecuting Paul. So yes, when you stand on the truth of the Word of God, you may suffer persecution, but you are not to live in sickness and defeat and take that on as an identity. Now, I'm not saying that you won't walk through things in your life, but that doesn't change your identity. When there's sin present in my life, it doesn't change the fact that I am the righteousness of God based on what Jesus did. It just means I need to submit that area of my life to the Lordship of Christ and repent from it and move on and change my way of thinking. Now, I'm not saying that the sin and sickness are the same in that regard, but I am saying that we receive healing the same way that we receive righteousness. It's by faith through grace.
Amen.
And you are healed. No matter where you're at, no matter what you're walking through, you may be listening to this and laying in bed and not even able to move, fighting something. And my heart goes out to you. But I want to tell you, God loves you. And by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. Like, even if you still can't move and you're laying in bed, you are healed. That is your identity, to begin seeing yourself as healed and begin allowing the Lord to paint a picture on the inside of your mind of what it looks like for you to walk out your true identity as healed. Amen. Just as I had to start learning what it looked like to walk out my true identity as righteous. In closing, 1 Peter 2:24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. Your healing has already been purchased. Right now, if you're born again, your identity is healed and whole. Or you could say healed and well. You are healed and well as an identity. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5 from the NASB. However, it was our sickness that he himself bore and our pains that he carried. Yet we ourselves assume that he had been afflicted, struck down by God and humiliated. But he was pierced for our offenses. He was crushed for our wrongdoings. The punishment for our well-being was laid upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved, sozo, through faith. For by grace you have been made well through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Not a result of works means it's not about your diet. It's not about what you're eating. It's not about what you're doing. It's not about your exercise. It's not about anything. It is by grace. When you receive it and understand it's already yours right now, I'm telling you, you are healed at this moment. You simply have to receive that by faith and then begin getting the picture for how you walk that out, how you walk your healing out in the physical. Acts 2:21, and it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Again, what is the picture? What does healing look like in your specific situation? Do you need to start making some long-term plans? Seeing yourself living beyond what the doctor told you? Are you going to believe the doctor report or the word of God? What are you going to stand on and choose to start seeing in your life? Last, I want to give you this. Mark chapter 4, verses 26 to 29. This is the way the word of God transforms our life. As we go into the Word of God and we begin looking at healing, looking at how Jesus handled himself through the Gospels, begin getting serious about understanding it's already your identity. It's not something you're wishing to have, you're hoping to have. It's already yours. You've already got the power that raised Jesus from the dead residing on the inside of you if you are born again. Mark 4, 26 to 29 says, and he, this is Jesus telling the parable of the seed, and he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He told us earlier in that chapter that the seed is the word of God and the ground is your heart. The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. When we sow the word of God into our heart, it will produce a harvest. When you spend time in the truth of the word of God with an understanding that your identity is healed, that you are healed, you allow that truth to be reinforced as you read the scripture with proper understanding and proper theology, understanding that healing is not something that you're seeking. It's something you already have. It is your identity. Amen. The real ID truths that we have learned so far in this series. Ephesians 3:17, I am rooted and grounded in love. Colossians 2:7, I am rooted in Christ. Colossians 2:10, I'm complete in Christ. 1 John 4:11, I'm loved by God as his beloved. 2 Corinthians 5:17, I'm a new creation in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21, I'm the righteousness of God through Christ. Romans 8:16, I am a child of God. Ephesians 2:19, I am a saint. Ephesians 2:10, I am God's masterpiece. Galatians 4:7, I'm an heir through God. 1 Corinthians 1:8, I am guiltless in Christ. Ephesians 2:6, I am seated with Christ in heavenly places. Psalm 139:1, I am known by God. Psalm 139:14, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. 1 Thessalonians 1:4, I'm chosen by God. Romans 8:30, I am called by God. 1 Corinthians 6:17, I am one spirit with the Lord. 1 Corinthians 6:19, I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 John 5:4, I'm an overcomer of the world by faith. Romans 6:11, I am dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Matthew 5:13, I am the salt of the earth. Matthew 5:14, I am the light of the world. Galatians 3:9, I am blessed. Ephesians 1:6, I'm accepted in the beloved. Isaiah 53:5, I am healed. Acts 2:21, I am saved. Heavenly Father, I thank you for each and every person hearing this message. Father, I thank you that as they transform their mind by the truth of the Word of God, that they take on your identity in the area of their physical health, that they are healed by your stripes. Father, right now, I just pray for everyone listening to my voice battling cancer. I tell that cancer to go and bow its knee to the identity and the truth of the Word of God, that by the stripes of Jesus, they are healed. High blood pressure, I tell you to bow to the name of Jesus. You bow in every single person's body listening to this message. Every heart circulatory disorder, every nerve disorder, every brain disorder, every sickness and disease that would seek to come upon people, every bit of mental disorder, I speak healing and health by the blood of Jesus, and I declare it to be so. Father, I thank you, Lord, that our identity as believers is healed and whole, that we are saved by the blood of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for helping us get the leaven out of our lives, removing the unbelief from our lives as we focus on the truth of your word. Lord, I thank you that as we open the scriptures and spend time in your word, Lord, that your Holy Spirit transforms our lives as we renew ourselves to the truth of your word. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your healing power going out, Lord, with these words right now. I thank you that people see hope, a picture of hope and a picture of wellness in their life as they understand that it's not something that they need to go out and seek. It's something that they already possess. As your children, I thank you that you are a good father, and I thank you for providing healing for us, providing salvation for us by your grace. And I thank you right now that we have received it and that we receive it by faith. Thank you, Lord, for increasing our faith. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.